I've got a lot that I want to give you this morning. It's not all preaching. A lot of it has to do with our theme and some directions for this year. So I'm just going to jump right into it. I am very excited about this theme for this year, Thou Art God. The great thing about Thou Art God is that it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. And that's Junior Church. I'm thrilled that we have a Junior Church. Now, if you hear, if it sounds like an earthquake a little bit later, it's just I may never march in the infantry or something like that going on up in Junior Church. Probably 30 or 40 kids up there this morning. I am just, when you see a Junior Church worker, tell them thank you that they did that while you were in here in relative peace and quiet. Also, the nursery workers. If you see a nursery worker, well, we should all bow down and kiss their feet or something. Maybe not. Let's not go that far. But tell them thank you. What a big deal it is to have folks that are willing to help with that. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 86, verse 10. That's our theme for this year. We're going to read it again. I hope that you will memorize this verse. It's a very simple verse. Well, there's several places in the Bible, I think five places in the Bible with this phrase, Thou art God. That's going to be our message this morning. Before we get there, I want to introduce this theme. Why did we pick this theme? Where we're going with it? Some of the things that we're going to be doing this year. I want to talk about some of the things that we want to give you today just for being here, just to say thank you for being part of our 13th anniversary. We're starting our 14th year. That's just an amazing thing. And I'm excited that you're here with us to do that. Psalms 86, verse 10. The Bible says, For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Now, Wednesday night, I told everybody that was here what the theme verse was. And I'm just curious, how many of you got close to guessing what our theme was? Anybody? All right. See, nobody even looked on Wednesday night. Oh, anybody? Who was that? Okay, we got a couple. But Adam said he got close. Roberta's back there. She said she got close. Wonderful. I'm excited about this theme. We're going to be preaching about the attributes of God as we go through this year. It's going to be awesome as we learn more about our God. We're going to be singing songs. We always try to sing songs that praise God and magnify God and thank God, but specifically picking songs this year that magnify God. There's three things that I'm hoping and I really believe are going to happen this year with this theme. I believe that the theme, Thou Art God, will build our faith as we learn more about God and about His mighty works. I mean, just think about it. When you realize that this earth didn't just happen, that God created everything in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and then you start to see the evidences of that in creation and how this whole universe, this solar system that we're in, it's like this a huge clock that always works and the sun always comes up and the sun always sets and the moon rises 51 minutes later every single night. It's just an amazing clock that God has put together, and you realize what a God that we have. Thou art God will build our faith as we learn more about Him and His mighty works. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you're going to come to God, first of all, you've got to believe that He is God, that He exists, that He is. Thou art God. Our culture is doing everything it can to get us to doubt that God even exists. The teaching of evolution, humanism, the confusion that's caused by so many different religions causes people to wonder if there even is a God. The Bible is very clear. In the beginning, God, but so many people would try to get us to doubt that that was the case. It wants to say in the beginning, rocks, or in the beginning, dirt, or in the beginning, cosmic dust, or whatever it was that you believe was the source of life. But the Bible says in the beginning, God. Thou art God will help us to be willing to change our lifestyles when we realize who God is and who we are. I'll get to more of that in the message here just a little bit. But that's a big part of this thing. It's you are God and I'm not. And since you're God, you call the shots. Since you're God, I'll do what you do, what you say. Thou art God. Because He is God, He has the right to absolute authority in our lives. This isn't the message, okay? So you can kind of relax and you just listen and enjoy. This is the theme introduction, all right? So he's got right to absolute authority in our lives. This book right here, our final authority in faith and practice. That's because it's God's word. It's because God said it, it's there, and he is God. And as such, he has the right to say what I am supposed to do, I'm not supposed to do. Where I'm supposed to go, I'm not supposed to go. And so many things that have to do with in my practical everyday life. If there's a difference between my life and God's word, my life needs to change to line up with his word. His word doesn't need to change to fit me, my life. So thou art God's going to build our faith, I believe. Thou art God will help us to be willing to change so that we can be more Christ-like. And thou art God, I really believe, will give us a sense of stability as we go through what I believe is a very difficult and going to be even more difficult over the next couple of months political season. Listen to this. God is still on the throne. No matter who is in charge in Washington or in Santa Fe or whatever judicial district that we're in, God is still on the throne. And whenever I remember, thou art God, it helps me to remember I don't have to worry because he is God. Psalms 86, 9, right before our memory verse for this week, right before our theme verse, the Bible says, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry politically what happens. I'm just going to keep serving God. I'm going to do what I believe is right, but I'm going to trust him. God's still on the throne. And then listen to this. God never changes. Hebrews 13, 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Thou art God gives us a sense of stability no matter what happens politically in our country. And understanding this, that God is above all political powers. Again, this is just the introduction to our theme, so I'm not preaching a message, but I want you to understand that the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Listen, the hope is not in the White House. The hope is not in any particular political party. Our hope is Jesus. Thou art God. So just some thoughts there. Why the theme? I'm excited about this theme. I think it's going to help us to grow, and I think it's going to help us to reach more people with the gospel. Our 13th year was an amazing year for improvements at New Heights Baptist Church. If you've been here for longer than 12 or 13 months, you have seen some amazing things. I just want to take a couple minutes and give God the glory for what he has done in our church just in this last year. During that 13th year, we got a new roof this year. Now, you may not have seen that because you don't necessarily see the roof. That's the ceiling right there. The roof is above the ceiling. And I know I don't say it right. Some of you say roof. I say roof. My wife's like, do you say boot or boot? And it's a roof, all right? So it's roof. Roof. I don't know what I'm saying now. We were able to put a new roof on the building. The one that we had up there was an old roof, probably about 30 years old, tar and gravel with cracks that big in it. I went up one day and pulled out a 2.5-foot pine tree out of the top of our roof that was growing up there. We needed a new roof, and God provided that this year. We were able to put in a new heater system, a new air conditioning systems. By the way, Brother Adam or Peter, would y'all turn the fans on? No, you're looking at me mean. Halfway, all right? Halfway. Just a little air circulating. That'll be great. So we're able to put in a new air conditioning system, a new heater system, and I'm thrilled about being able to do that. We're able to run new power lines to the building and increase the power that our building's able to use so that we can have those new air conditioners. It was a pretty neat thing. We used to have a wire coming across, and the garbage man could hardly get back to take the garbage out because the wire was so low. And we got that removed and put under the parking lot and comes back up. That was a new thing. We didn't plan on doing this year, but we're able to put in a new kitchen this year. That was all God that did that because of the roofing company had left it wide open, and we had a huge snowstorm, and just buried the kitchen in water and just destroyed most everything there. But through insurance, we were able to redo the entire kitchen. And we weren't expecting to do that, but we were able to do that. This year, we were able to re-stucco and put stonework on the building. And that just looks amazing. Brother Pedro and his team did that. And just an amazing, amazing job. And I want to give God the glory for allowing that to happen here. Just yesterday, we were able to get our new sign put up. And I want to say thank you to Enrique and the people that he got involved to do that. And then thanking God that he's given some of our people this amazing ability to do some of this stuff. You noticed the sign this morning, and I do want to quiz you. What was the temperature when you came to church this morning? All right. I don't care what it felt like. It was 79 degrees out there. We'll have to work on getting the temperature right. But what an amazing thing. We've never had a sign. 13 years, I've always wanted a sign. We've just never had one. So finally, we've got the permits. We've got everything. Doing it the right way, and we're able to get a sign put up. And I want to say thank you for everybody for helping with that. That was Brother Reed's project, and Brother Reed, we're almost done with that huge, huge project. We're able to get a new logo this year. Our theme for our church and our motto for our church, I guess you could say, a slogan or something like that, is families succeeding together. And whenever we first started the church, I played a little bit. I didn't have any good, great photo editing programs or anything, and I really wasn't very good at it. But we put the theme picture together, the one with the man and the wife holding hands and the kids on both sides. Everybody thought that was just our family, because when we started the church, my oldest son was 2 years old, and our second daughter was, our first daughter was, she was just born. So people thought that was our family. No, it was a picture of a family that was succeeding. So we redid that, and now we have a family that's actually in motion and walking through a queue. All right, that may not mean a lot to anybody, but being from Albuquerque, the queue is important to us. And so we got that new logo. We've got it on everything. And hopefully we'll be getting it out into our community. That's one of the reasons we did T-shirts and cups and things. We want to let our community know that there is a church that does care about families and wants families to succeed. We got a new app this year. And I do want to mention that so that you know what's going on. I'm not preaching yet, okay? So hang on there. We'll get to that in just a little bit. I don't have a verse for this one. But we've got a new app. And that's for giving, for staying in contact. We're going to get our bulletins loaded up onto the app and announcements going up there. We've already got our recorded services, so you can access them from our church app. How many of you have already installed the church app and you've had an opportunity to use it? I would like to double that or triple that next week. If you use apps, it's a free app. And it's available at the Google Play stores. It's available at the Apple, what do they call that, you Apple people? Apple App Store, right? So redundant, Apple people, I'm telling you. So the Apple Store, so plan, go by there. Here's what we're going to do. We put an Enter to Win icon on there. And if you'll go on there, you'll fill out your name, your phone number, and your email. You can enter once a week between today and our missions conference, between Anniversary Sunday and Missions Conference. And once a week, we're going to do a drawing, and we're going to be giving away a free church T-shirt. But you got to go on to the app. You can only enter once. If you try to cheat, we're going to find out, all right? And we'll eliminate you. But go on there. Go on there once a week and see if you can win that T-shirt. We'll be giving several of those away. And the whole reason, get on the app, look at it. You're going to realize if you use apps on your phone, this will be a help to you. You can get all the services, our special music, the sermons, it's all there. And I think you'll appreciate that. I want to show you our T-shirts. You probably saw the table with those. We got a bunch of new T-shirts in. I like this. It's got the logo up here, New Heights Baptist Church, Family Succeeding Together. Then on the back, there's the big logo. Just so there's no confusion, that's a New Heights Baptist Church. That's our logo. So here's what we're going to do for our shirts. We're not able to give them away. We just don't have the resources to be able to do that. But we paid $5.15 each for them, and we're going to sell them for $5. So we want you to get it for just as inexpensive as you possibly can. Here's what we did. We ordered 150 of these T-shirts. We're expecting about 400 to 450 people here at church today. I didn't want to overorder, obviously, right? So if you want a T-shirt, they're $5. get one on the way out. And if you want just to order one for later, there's a sign-up sheet there. You can order it for later, and that way you can make sure that you get one of our T-shirts. And also, we're going to be giving away a free T-shirt for every person who brings a guest between Anniversary Sunday and Missions Conference. So if you want to get a free T-shirt, I'm hoping to give away a lot of T-shirts. Bring a guest and make sure that I know that is a guest, and that you get your T-shirt. I'm excited. I would love for as many people as possible to win a free T-shirt just for bringing a guest to church. All right, we got these polo shirts as well. These are nice. These are Nike shirts. I'm a terrible salesman. Okay, so just understand my personality is not to sell things. I don't like it. And I'm not really trying to sell it. I just want to let you know it's available. I got one of these. I got one for each of our staff men. But if you would like one, they're $30 each. They're usually a lot more than that. That's just what we're paying for it. It's got the logo. It's embroidered. New Heights Baptist Church, Family Succeeding Together. If you want one, we have an order sheet. Just write your name down there and pay the $30, and we'll order that for you. We've got enough out there. We've got men's and ladies' styles, and there's enough out there for everybody to be able. You can try it on. But we don't have enough to be able to sell what's there. We don't have the resources, again, to be able to buy a bunch of those and hope that they sell. So if you want them, you can try it on if you want to. You can hold it up to yourself, however you want to do that. You can order that. But that way, you get one of our shirts. I would encourage everybody to get one of our shirts. Get a T-shirt. Get one of our polo shirts. And that way, whenever we're out doing stuff in the community, people see our logo. And I'm gonna get a couple of those for me. In fact, I grabbed my size to show you just in case, right? So why do we do all that? Why all the new stuff? Why the new sign? Why the new roof and heaters and power line and kitchen and stucco and stonework and logo and app and shirts? Why all of that? Well, the purpose of our church, here it is. We want to reach people with the gospel. We want to disciple Christians. We want to strengthen families. And we want to do all of that to glorify God. We want to bring glory to God in all that we do. Ephesians 3:21, the Bible says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I want to bring glory to God. That's why we did all of this. We want to see as many people saved as we can. That's the reason for the sign. We want people to know there is a church here, and this is the kind of church we are, and you're welcome to be here. Let me share some goals with you that I'm excited about, and I hope that you'll pray about getting involved and making this happen. Our goal for our Sunday school for this year is to double our Sunday school class attendance. Our goal is to double. Now, whenever you talk about doubling anything, it can be challenging, but I believe we can do this. Starting tonight, we're going to have a once-a-month teachers meeting after the Sunday evening service, and I'm going to meet with the teachers. Now, tonight, if you're a teacher, right after the evening service, meet in room 101, and then we're going to set our goals for this year and set a goal to double our classes. We're going to be starting some new classes. I'll be mentioning here in just a moment. We'll set goals for those classes. And I'm excited about reaching more people with the gospel through our Sunday school program. We're going to be giving prizes for the teachers who meet our goals every month. We'll talk about that more tonight at that teachers meeting. Our goal for discipleship is this: to match everyone who wants to go through our discipleship program with a mentor. I want everybody in our church, if you want to have somebody to sit down one-on-one with you and go through a discipleship program, I want you to be able to do that. Some of you have already done that. Some of you already got your certificate and you've gone through that whole program. It's about a 20-week discipleship program, and I want everybody that wants to be able to have a mentor to go through that with. So that's our goal for our discipleship. For follow-up, our goal is to contact every prospect for our church once every month. This is a pretty daunting task because we've met a lot of people in our church, and there's a lot of prospects here that I want you to help us to be able to reach. We're going to implement a new computer program that my brother, he's a missionary in Chile, but he's also a computer programmer. He's working on writing a program for our follow-up program. Let me mention something that is going to be brand new for our church that I think will help us. It's going to be a concept you've never heard before, and as soon as I say it, you're going to think, you're going to be like that cow that's looking at the new gate. I promise you. But go with me on this, and I'll explain it to you. And that is this: we want to have a what we're going to call a media-free zone at church. It's going to be totally voluntary. We're not going to hire any KJB to come over and, you know, confiscate your phone if you don't do it right. I'm going to ask you to help with this. Let me give you the reasoning for a media-free zone at church. First of all, is safety. We're careful what we allow to influence ourselves and our children at our home. I don't know about your family as much as our family, but our family is very careful, and I imagine that your family is also very careful with that. What I don't want to happen is for my family or your family, who's very careful about what kind of media we allow our kids to watch and pictures we allow them to see and games we allow them to play and videos we allow them to watch and music we allow them to listen to. We're careful. A lot of it's really, quite honestly, very just wicked. It's wrong. It's dangerous. So we're careful at home, and I think your family probably is as well. But what I don't want to happen is then go to church and other kids and other families and other people have stuff on their phones or devices and them showing your kids or my kids things that they shouldn't see. The reasoning for this, we got home one night after a day at church, and my youngest son, he's 5 years old, he just was terrified. He couldn't sleep. He's having nightmares. He came in and we're trying to figure out what was going on. Well, some other kid at church had showed him this game, and it was a horror game designed for not kids, that's for sure, and had showed him some of the pictures and some of the stuff and just terrified him. And I realized at that point, if that could happen, and I know it could, what else is going to be shared? And so I just thought, let's do this to help each other out. Voluntary, but let's have a media-free zone here at church. That what that's going to mean is when we're waiting before services and after services, not doing social media and not doing Facebook and not doing videos and not doing games and not listening to music and stuff like that on our devices while we're here at the church. The other reason is for the reason of less distractions. Let's give God a chance to speak to our hearts without the distractions of the games and music and videos and social media. I mean, think about it. You come to church, you hear a message from the Word of God. And then as soon as we leave, we're instantly plugging right back in. Even when we're in the foyer, before we even leave, we're getting back in and checking our media and watching videos and got the music going back going. What time are we really giving God to make a difference in our hearts and influence us? So two reasons. For the reason of safety, the reason of less distractions, I would like to ask your help with this. And I'm not asking you to police the hallways. Please don't do that. We get a guest in and they're checking their Facebook on their phone. Please don't confiscate their phone. Please don't go up to them and in a mean way say, "You reprobate, what are you doing? Breaking our rules by, you know, not obeying our media-free zone." No, that's not the intention at all. It's not intended to be a harsh rule. It's intended to be something that we can work on as a church. They'll just help everybody out, I believe. That's something new that we're going to implement. I told you, you're going to look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Like, what in the world am I going to do? I have to wait till I get outside to check my media? Is that what you're saying? I can't. Well, anyway. So just help us out with that. We'll give you some more instructions. We'll talk about that a little bit more. This year, we want to challenge our teens to serve. We want to teach them to serve. I believe everybody should be serving in a ministry. And our teens, my brother Alexander is going to be working on this. Our teens are going to be serving our seniors. They're going to be serving some of our single ladies and serving widows and serving some of the folks in our church that need help, that could use some yard work help, that can use some housework help. And we want to teach our teens to serve. That's part of being part of the body of Christ, is serving others. Cleaning around the church grounds. Yesterday, we had some young people that jumped right in and helped us to load up trucks and take stuff to the dump and clean things up. That's what we're talking about, of teens who are willing to serve. We're going to choose a new outreach area, and we're gonna reach a new area of our city with the gospel. If you look at the map on the back, you can see some of the area that we've reached so far. We're going to reach out, and we're going to cross the river. We're going to start going east and start going towards the downtown area, reaching a new part of town that we've never taken the gospel to, we've never taken the tracts to, we've never invited people to church from those areas. So we're going to really work hard to do that, sending postcards out, door to door, soul winning, sending tracts in the mail. We're going to be, this Christmas time, we're going to be going down to the old town during the lighting of the tree, and our choir is going to be down there. And we're going to be singing, and I'd like to invite everybody to come out and potentially reach thousands of people by singing the real kind of Christmas song at Old Town during the Christmas season. We want you to be part of that. We'll get you more details on that. And then we're changing up our class structure a bit. And let me just share that with you. And I'm going to give you an introduction to our message, and that's probably all I'm going to have time for, and I'll finish preaching that message tonight. Our Sunday school class structure, we're going to make some changes here, and I'm excited about these. Part of the changes are just going to be in the names. Our teens, 6th through 12th grade, are going to be called the New Heights Teens. Is that original or what? New Heights Teens, right? Here's what we're going to do. Instead of rebranding every single classroom and every class, we're going to call our teens the New Heights Teens. We're going to call our singles, guess what? The New Heights Singles, all right? Brother Ryan Anderson is going to be beginning a new class. October 30th, we're starting a brand new class. That is going to be the New Heights Singles. That's going to be a class for anybody that's out of high school and is single. So we're keeping it wide open there. The class that I teach now is called a couples class. We're changing the name of that. You ready? You're not going to get it. It's not New Heights Couples. It's New Heights Families. So we're changing the direction of that class just a little bit. So these will be adults with families, including couples, without children, and including single parents, okay? So New Heights Families. I'm excited about teaching that class. We're going to be relocating October 30th. Our class will be moving into the kitchen, and the Brother Ryan's class, New Heights Singles, will stay up in the higher ground area. The Brother Reed's class is going to be called the New Heights Seniors. And then we're going to be starting a new class. I'm excited about this. And we've been waiting a long time to do this, but we're going to start a ladies' class. Mrs. Dye is going to be teaching this class for us. And guess what we're going to call that? It's going to be called New Heights Ladies, all right? So this is going to help us as we're advertising for that. We're letting people know about that. And that'll be starting on October 30th. Excited about that. Okay. I've got one more thing I want to give you, but it's not. I'm going to give that out tonight, and then we'll introduce that a little bit more in a couple of weeks. And I'm not going to preach long this morning. I've probably got about 10, maybe 15 minutes. But when you think, "Thou art God," what do you think? You may have never really noticed that before. It's kind of just a given in the Bible. There's a God. And if you grew up in church, then you grew up just kind of believing it. If you got saved at a later age, it may have been something that you had to struggle with at some point. Just, is there a God? And who is God? But when you say, "Thou art God," what do you think? Well, when you say, "Thou art God," you have the right perspective, first of all, of who God is. When you can say to God, "Thou art God," you're admitting to Him, first of all, that He is God and that you are not. Thou art God. To say "Thou art God" is a humbling thing to say, because it means there is somebody else in my life that can tell me what to do. There's somebody else. Oh, I'm preaching now. Okay, we switched over. Did you catch that? That subtle little shift right there? All right. So when you say "Thou art God," there's a perspective that has to change. When you say "Thou art God," like John the Baptist, he saw Jesus coming down to the river to be baptized. He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." It's a change in perspective. It's I'm not all that I might have thought I was. I need to go lower, and He needs to increase. He is God. When you say "Thou art God," you have the right perspective of who God is. Isaiah saw God sitting on His throne. It's Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 6, and he says, "And I saw God high and lifted up." That's who God is. When you can say "Thou art God," you have the right perspective of who God is. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he said this: "The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Thee. How much less this house that I have builded." Think about Solomon here for a moment. He's just built the great temple. It's beautiful. to look at. It would blind you because of the gold shining in the sun. David, King David, had saved up and he had stockpiled so that this temple could be built. And Solomon comes and he builds this temple, and it was beautiful. And people from all over the world knew about this temple, and the Jews would come and they would worship in this temple, and the sacrifices would be made. And in the back of the temple, there was the room called the Holy of Holies, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that's where the sacrifice was made that one time a year, and the fire would come down and God would accept that sacrifice. Solomon made that temple, but when he made that temple, he said, "The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. Thou art God." Realizing who God is, the heaven, I mean, think about this statement, "The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee." Scientifically, I can't really explain that statement right there. But wow. I can say wow, right? Wow. Heaven can't contain him. I like space. I like pictures from space. My mom, I think she still has it. Whenever she went to college, she took an astronomy class, and she still has her astronomy book with pictures of the nebulas. It's got the Horsehead Nebula. It's got the Crab Nebula. It's got the different pictures of these amazing heavenly bodies. Since then, we've sent telescopes into space that can see so much further and see galaxies and places we will never go just because of the so many light years and hundreds and thousands of light years that it takes, and maybe millions of light years it takes to get to these places. And Solomon said, "God, thou art God, the heavens, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee." Wow, that's God. It helps our perspective when we realize who God is. God spoke to Isaiah, and when he was speaking to Isaiah, he said to Isaiah, "The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" Can you picture that? I mean, this word picture. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. I saw some pictures from astronaut, I believe his name is Jeff Williams. Anybody know who I'm talking about if I say astronaut Jeff Williams? Okay, so he just came back from being the person who was in the International Space Station the longest, 500 and some days on the International Space Station. And while he was up in space, they would rotate around the world it was like 20 times a day. That's how many sunrises and sunsets they would see every day on the space station. And he'd take pictures of the Earth from the space station. And you just realize how huge this Earth is. I mean, it is huge. This earth that we live on. And God says, "Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool." Can you picture? I don't know that this was the reason God said this, but can you picture him sitting somewhere in the heavens and just propping his feet up on the earth because that's just his footstool? Thou art God. You know, whenever you get it in perspective and you realize, wow, God is amazing. When John the Apostle was describing heaven, he said, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the Lamb thereof." Picture this. We talk about heaven, we read about heaven in the last couple chapters of Revelation, and it's amazing. The streets of pure gold and the gates of pearl and the size of it. If I'm just going from memory here, 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles this way, and 1,500 miles this way. I think those are the numbers, something like that. I mean, we're talking amazing. And the Bible says there's no need for light there because God is the light of it. Thou art God. This year we're going to be preaching about who God is. When you say, "Thou art God," it puts you into perspective realizing who God is, but it also gives you the right perspective of who you are. When I say, "Thou art God," it reminds me that I am dirt. Genesis is chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You and I are dirt. How's that sound? Does that make you feel good this morning? You were dust, molded by the hand of God and filled with the breath of God. I mean, an amazing creation that cannot be duplicated. We cannot make a robot or a computer or any kind of creation that will duplicate the human creation. What an amazing thing that is. And God just did that. He made us out of dirt. After Adam sinned, God told him, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Thou art God, reminding me I'm not, reminding me how humble I ought to be. Abraham had the right perspective of who he was in relation to God. He was praying to God. He was praying that God would rescue his nephew Lot. And he said, "Behold now," he's talking to God. Abraham's praying. He says, "Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." That's Abraham. I mean, the father of the Hebrew nation. He says, "I'm just dust and ashes. Whenever I'm compared to you, thou art God." What an amazing perspective it gives us when we say, "Thou art God." The amazing thing is that the great God of the universe still loves us. Psalm 103:14, the Bible says, "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." He knows. And he remembers. And this is incredible. He loves you. The great God who sits in heaven and the earth is his footstool, and he knows that we are dust, loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Romans 5:6, the Bible says, "For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's me, the ungodly. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But this is amazing. But God commendeth this, that thou art God, that God, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a God. Thou art God. And when we say that this year, we're going to be remembering who he is. We're going to be learning who he is and remembering who we are. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Just that simple. Just a sinner saved by grace. I don't have any rights to heaven. I don't have any rights to anything. I deserve nothing but punishment for my sins. And that's where you are as well. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. I'm excited about this theme this year. Okay, so maybe you couldn't tell quite the difference between the preaching and the theme introduction there a little bit. But if you can get this year, thou art God, who God is. And because he is God, he's got right to my life. He's got right to anything I do, say, any place I go, what I wear, what I talk about, what I watch. He's God. He's got the rights to tell me what to do because he's God. And when you can admit that and say, thou art God, it'll change everything in this life. Because thou art God, this is incredible, and I'm done. It was amazing that he sent his son to this earth. Perfect Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who also is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God, yes, but he is God in the flesh. He came to this earth and paid for your sin and paid for my sin when he died on that cross. What a God we have. Now this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. If you've never accepted the fact that Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for your sins so that you don't have to go to hell, so that you can go to heaven, if you've never accepted his free gift, I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. Maybe you've trusted going to church or being good or whatever. Let me just throw this at you real quick and we're done. There's no amount of good I could do to make myself anything more than just dust. Sinful man, that's it. But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Would you bow your heads? Father, I pray that you would use this simple message. Help us to remember that you are God. Help us to understand this amazing truth that the God that created us loved us so much, He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who's never trusted You as their Savior, I pray that this morning they would do that. I pray that this morning they'd understand that just like I am, they're a sinner and they need Your forgiveness. They need to trust You as their Savior.